ready to wiggle. We've been ready for so long. Get ready to wiggle. When you wiggle, you can't go wrong. Get ready to wiggle. Wiggle will make you big and strong. Get ready to wiggle. Come on, wiggle to this song.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the monkeys jumping up and down on the bed of free speech. And if you want to know what that's all about, just go to ACH and listen to the first part of his show. Otherwise, you'll just not know what we're talking about. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. There is a phone number you can call. There is an address you can send it to. I'm going to skip that for now, though. Okay, and so we have Andy Hitchcock today. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick. And this is our joint show, and I want to say hello to all my friends. I've got many friends over at republicbroadcasting.org, many people who present shows who join me on my show, and many people I listen to on that network. It's a great network, and I encourage people to support it. And I also want to thank the people at rentsradio.com, speakfreeradio.com, and eurofolkradio.com that will also be broadcasting this show. So we're going out on at least four networks. And what we're going to do today is we generally have Mark with us, Mark Dankoff, but he's tied up today, unfortunately. So I do a show when I don't have a guest, say a guest doesn't turn up or something like that. That's when I generally do a solo show that I call I Ask You, and I prepare a list of questions, and those questions I read out, and then I give my own answers to the questions. But the show is designed for the questions to prompt thoughts in the audience as to, you know, hopefully bring back some nice memories for people. And consequently, I say that if the audience sends me their answers in, then I will read them out on a subsequent I Ask You show. But I put this idea to Patrick today that I'd like to hear his answers to some questions on records and tapes, because for those of you who have listened to Patrick for any length of time, you know he's got quite a breadth of bumper music that he plays, and this is stuff that he picks out himself. So he's got, for me, a wide musical knowledge. And so what we'll do is I'm going to ask him each of the questions that I did on my I Ask You show on records and tapes. And then I've got three people who wrote in with their answers. So let me go over to the first question. Patrick, how old were you when you got your first record, and do you remember what it was?
I guess I was... I'm trying to remember what it was. I remember getting George Harrison 33 and a third. Was that the absolute first one I got? And I suppose I would have been in seventh grade. I would have been about 12 years old. It's possible I'd gotten, in fact, it's likely I'd gotten the Beatles' greatest hits. They had like one in blue, like a double album in blue and a double album in red. The blue was 67 to 70, and the red was 62 to 66, I think. And that was after the Beatles had broken up. So it was after 1970. It was probably around 1970. That could have been 72. And when did 33 and third come out? Maybe 73. I'm not sure which order I got them in, but it would have been one of those.
That's interesting. Yes. Cause, I'm very familiar with those albums. They were both double albums. The way that the pictures were done was almost like in some sort of apartment block where they were sort of standing, leaning over a square type of balcony looking down. And you had a picture of them doing that early on in their careers for the 62 to 66 album. And then the 67 to 70, it was obviously a much later when they all had their long hair and stuff photographed in the same place. And I've had copies of those over the years. I think one time I had volume one of 62 to 66, and I bought some pirate Greek copy when I was on holiday in Greece somewhere when I was very young. But that's interesting. Let's see what the excuse me, the answers I had in, say. Donald said, I was 4 or 5 years old. It was The Ballad of Davy Crockett by Fess Parker, originally released in 1955. Then
We're talking about albums, right? Single records?
You can talk about an album or a single record if you want to throw a single record in there.
I'll pipe in with the single records later.
Okay, good stuff. Lisa says, I was around 3 or 4 and it was the soundtrack for Grease, a movie I loved. I still get multiple thrills from the music from that movie. The album was awesome as it had 2 records in sleeves which opened like a menu, or yes, better known as a double album, I now remember. And there were loads of terrific photos from the movie plastered all over the sleeves. At the age of 4, it was actually quite entertaining checking out the photos while you listened, as it was the only way you could relive the movie once it was no longer on the circuit. We didn't have video recorders in South Africa, which is where Lisa's originally from back then. I also got hooked on classics one Christmas, the medley of multiple classical hits with a background beat. I used to have roller skating parties where I played that. I still kind of prefer a classics done in the hooked on style, which probably makes me a musical chav, which is a sort of, you know, person, philistine, I think would be a term that might be more recognisable. Chav is an English term. And then David said, I was 14 years old in the summer of 1965. The record was Help Me Wander by the Beach Boys. I bought it in the record department of the local Sears and Roebuck department store located at Cherry Creek Shopping Centre in Denver, Colorado. So, Patrick, there are the answers that I had in on that question. Anything else you'd like to add in on singles?
I got what's called Dueling Banjos as a 45, and I don't know when that was. I guess it was when it was popular. But the thing is, I had an older brother, and so he would get stuff, and so I never really had to get stuff. He'd get switched on. He had a lot of classical music, switched on Bach. He had I remember he had Simon and Garfunkel. Bridge Over Troubled Water or something like that. He had some stuff. So I didn't really have to buy music because we shared a room. I had to listen to whatever he was listening to anyway.
Yeah, there's actually a satirical band, like a comedy band in the UK, that are still going today, and they started off in, I think, 1984. They're called Half Man, Half Biscuit. And they did an album, an interesting take on the album title, Bridge Over Troubled Water. There's a town in the UK called Bridgewater, and their album title was Trouble Over Bridgewater. So I thought I'd throw that in there for you. And if I can find a song of theirs, because a lot of their stuff, it's to deal with obscurities in England, really. So they do a song where they prefer to say a BBC continuity announcer, some obscure sort of material that a lot of it I have to look up to find out. So certainly it's written more for an English audience, and those outside the UK wouldn't necessarily get the comedy on a lot of their songs because it's very unique to the UK. But I'll try and dig something out and send it over to you. The next question that I've got here is, we just talked about records, so you talked about albums and the 45s, the singles. How about tapes or cassettes? And you can throw anything in there, the cartridges, whatever they were, and stuff like that. Any thoughts, tapes or cassettes you remember having?
So I never bought pre-recorded tapes and cassettes. I'd buy the blank ones from time to time if I had a little bit of money. I don't know what I had recorded. The first I really remember was just myself and my friend, and we were just making jokes on it, about making joke commercials about U-Hauls and whatever else. What else were we joking about? Preparation H, which is hemorrhoid cream. I don't know. Just some weird stuff. In terms of putting an album on something, I don't know. It certainly wasn't the first, but I remember somebody giving me a tape that had The Cure, which this would have been much later, but The Cure was some sort of, what do you call it? It's not punk rock. It's
gothic type of thing.
Gothic. There was good stuff on it. And then the last three songs on it, three or four songs were from a band called Fill in the Blanks, who maybe they were from Chicago, but I think Phil from Fill in the Blanks wound up later on becoming the mayor of Salt Lake City or something like that. And it was weird. It was funny. I don't know. But they had one song that this would have been in the 1970s. They had a song that was critical of liberals. I guess he was a Republican. And that's how different things were back then. And it was called I Want Some More. I Want Some More. And it was complaining about all the welfare people want. You're looking at me, you think I'm Hubert H. Humphrey. You think I'm Teddy Kennedy. So, I don't know, fill in the blanks. You can look, if you want to know what I'm talking about, look for Fill in the Blanks and I Want Some More. Then another one that was called Auto Sex. It had to do with activities in a car. I don't know exactly what they were talking about. And some other ones. Anyway, that's what I remember.
And a lot of these songs, you'd be surprised. I'm certainly not someone that promotes YouTube. Both Patrick and I have had our run-ins with them, censorship-wise. But it's amazing what you can put into YouTube and you can find the full studio version of a song. You know, unless you're talking about some, you know, very big artist, you can find most things. I even found a video of a song that I remember as a child that I'd never seen, the official music video. And this was from, I think, 1981 or 80, when music videos were a very new thing. So, yeah, it's worth, if there are songs that you want to look up, actually go over there and you'd be surprised. I thought a lot of them, you know, you'd have to go and buy them from Spotify or something like that. But they do have a hell of a lot of stuff up there that you can find. So go ahead, Patrick.
A lot of stuff, but I'll just say there's a lot of stuff right now. And usually when I'm doing my bumper music, I just get all that from YouTube. But who knows if it's going to last forever. And for instance, I wanted to do a Switched on Bach, a bumper music, and it's not on YouTube. For whatever reason, it's not on YouTube. And so I, fortunately, before I disposed of that album, I had recorded it myself. So that's why if you hear Switched on Bach on my show, it's got all these scratches on it because it was recorded from an old album. An old record album. So, and YouTube, just like they used to have all this free speech on it and then they purged it, right now they've got all this free music on it. It'll probably get purged or become, you know, what they do is they squash all of their competition and then they just start monetizing it. And I hate YouTube. I was trying to listen to some stuff on YouTube and every 3 or 4 minutes, a commercial. You get a commercial that can last, if you don't hit the skip button, it'll last for 3 or 4 minutes itself. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's really useful information. You know, it's as I say, I've found individual songs, but yeah, and that does annoy me where you sort of get these ads come up and stuff like that. But you're absolutely right. This is, for me, is what Amazon was all about. And you're starting to see Amazon's prices, certainly in the UK, I don't know if so in America, as all the competition hasn't been able to keep up. You know, Jeff Rentz said a while ago that when Google became an actual term, rather than look up on a search engine, Google this, it sent a shiver down his spine. I'm paraphrasing. But what he was sort of getting at was when you start referring to the actual one company makes a search engine as that is the search engine, so just Google this, then bad things are on the horizon. As we know, Google hemorrhage or out-and-out remove results for terms that they do not like, whereas you can still get them on, you know, for political purposes. If you ever look, want to look something up, I use webcrawler.com, and that was advised to me by Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. And that's been very useful for political things. But the same as I say, and this is what's happened with Amazon. It's a case of, oh, go on to Amazon and get something. And in the past, there were other, you know, online retailers, when it was just a case of mainly albums, DVDs, stuff like that. You had other companies you could go to in the UK. I think, you know, HMV, I don't know if they're still going, but there was a lot of companies you could choose from. So when you were looking for an item, you might put it into a search engine and find out the best price, and all these different companies will come up. But now it's largely Amazon or eBay. So, of course, once they've got, as you said, Patrick, with the YouTube example, when they feel that they've got enough of a monopoly, that's when those things will start being restricted or prices will start going up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was at one time called the Walmart model, where Walmart could go in. Walmart, because they had so many stores around the country, they had massive sales around the country. They could go into a new city, and they could afford to lose money. They could afford to lose money on their new store, so they'd open a new store in some small town in Kansas and sell things, lose money. They could absorb that, but the competition, the small businesses around that town in Kansas, couldn't. They couldn't sell at a loss, and so they'd lose all their customers. And then once all the competition had shut down, then Amazon would raise its Walmart would raise its prices to a profitable level, and that was the rap on Amazon. I mean, on Walmart, I suppose it was true, but that's what people said when Walmart was getting really, really big a few decades ago. And of course, now it's enormous.
Yeah. I mean, again, you sort of, we could focus on this for the rest of the show. I mean, in the sense of, just think about the lockdowns. Only certain retailers, essential retailers, could operate. Well, you'd have people offering similar stock to the major supermarkets and places like Walmart that weren't allowed to open. But the big companies could open, and that's why I think that the lockdowns, you know, were, as many people feel, a method by which to close down small and medium-sized businesses so that these big companies could get the monopoly. Any thoughts on that, Patrick, before we move on?
Yeah, I do have thoughts. When you go back in retrospect and you looked at all of the things that were going on, you had so many different aspects of society, so many different corners of society that were benefiting. And I don't think, to me, there may have been some sort of basic plan, initial plan, but I don't see how everybody who benefited from it was involved in the plan. And I'm not even convinced there was a plan. I don't know. Maybe there was. But the thing is, so you had big retailers benefited. A lot of the small businesses were driven out of business. The small restaurants, small mom and pop shops, a lot of small business was driven out of business, and the large businesses weren't. And you looked at the stock market, and the stock market did very well during the pandemic, it did well during the lockdowns, because
fruit salad, yummy yummy, fruit salad, yummy yummy, fruit salad, yummy yummy,
yummy yummy, yummy yummy, fruit salad.
Let's make some fruit salad today.
Oh, oh, oh.
It's fun to do, it's a healthy way.
Oh, oh, oh.
Take all the fruit that you want to eat. It's going to be a fruit salad.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
A class action lawsuit over censorship has been filed. I'm Peter Serafine with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Children's Health Defense has filed a lawsuit against President Biden and several top offices over government pressuring social media companies to censor users. The First Amendment is clear. The government cannot stifle speech. Asking a third party, like a social media company, to censor is still a violation of our rights. No matter who is actually doing the censoring, if it's being directed by the government, then it is a violation of First Amendment protected speech. Any government who silences anyone who questions their authority is tyrannical and authoritarian. My question is, why did it take so long to file this lawsuit? The White House admitted that they were doing this 2 years ago. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Just a few waves, and we'll be on our way. You'll see gulls and trees, and feel the breeze.
Large businesses weren't, and you looked at the stock market, and the stock market did very well during the pandemic, it did well during the lockdowns, because the companies that were being driven out of business were small companies and mom and pop shops that don't issue shares on the stock market. So those big companies benefited. Obviously the pharmaceutical companies benefited. Obviously you had these different agendas. The election agenda to change the election laws. You had so many things, varied things, the taking away our, people would say, look how many of our rights were taken away. They were just seeing how much they could get away with. There was like a whole bunch of different agendas that were going on that were all benefiting off of this and had all the people with their varying agendas, if they had all been plotting and scheming back in 2019 or earlier to roll this out, I think that would just be too unwieldy, too impossible. And I do think that, as George Carlin said, George Carlin, the comedian, he famously said, where there's a convergence of interests, no conspiracy is necessary.
That's a very good line. I've not heard that one before. I thought you were going to say it's a big club and you're not in it. But, that's very interesting.
What did he say? It's a big...
It's a big club and you're not in it.
Good too. All right.
Let's look at... now, this one I threw in, and I think that the couple of the answers that I had... Well, let's just... what were the guys at your local record shop like? Did you go into record shops that much that you got to know people there and anything like that, Patrick?
Yeah. Well, so in order to save money, I did get most of my records at a used record place, which I suppose had head shop aspects to it. It maybe you could buy a bong there or something like that, but it was mostly a used record store. Occasionally I'd go into a mall or something and go to a new record shop, but mostly I got used records. And it was an old house that had gotten converted into a storefront, and you'd just walk into a room and there'd be a bunch of used records. And that's where I got most of my records. And I've gotten rid of my records for the most part.
Yeah. I've got some records I keep at my mum's. But, of course, where I live, I'm in a small apartment. I'm not complaining, folks. I bring it up a lot. I'm in a 500-square-foot apartment. But I have to clean that too. And I don't enjoy cleaning. So it's big enough for me. But obviously, you know, if you do keep certain things from your childhood and stuff like that, then... you know, that's where your parents' house can come in useful to store some of that stuff up. But I've got three answers here. Donald simply says friendly. Lisa says, ha ha, now that I don't remember. I would usually get my cassettes from CNA at Sandton City, as they were local to me. I must say that I never really paid for them myself, as I would simply write the names of the tapes I wanted and give them to family in lieu of receiving a present. She remembers when the record chain Musica opened in South Africa that she was very excited. Look and Listen at Hyde Park Corner in Johannesburg was a classy tape-hunting experience. And she remembers nagging her mum to take her to the Randburg Mall as they had a dusty, pokey little record store that kept a lot of Queen and REO Speedwagon records that were hard to get as the main chains only kept more recent albums. And she can remember after Freddie Mercury's death desperately ringing every record store in Johannesburg to buy all the Queen videos available. And then David says, I never hung out at record shops. I was more interested in comic books, which were available at local independent drugstores, chemist shops, pharmacies. There you go. Now, you talked about recording things here, Patrick. Did you used to listen to the Billboard 100 on the radio and tape record your favorite songs?
Well, I used to listen to American Top 40.
Yeah, Top 40 too. Yeah, we have UK Top 40. I left that bit out of the things. I didn't realize you had the Top 40 as well. Sorry to interrupt. Please go ahead.
Yeah, American Top 40 with Casey Kasem. You know Casey Kasem?
No. Nope.
Okay, well, he did the American Top 40 in America, and our American listeners, he did it for decades, and so people probably know who I'm talking about. Do you know the cartoon Scooby-Doo?
Oh, yes, I know that very well. Got that on DVD.
Okay, so, yeah, Casey Kasem did the voice of Shaggy.
Hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, potato. Potato, potato, potato. Don't spaghetti, don't spaghetti. Don't spaghetti, don't spaghetti. Don't spaghetti, don't spaghetti. Spaghetti, 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 spaghetti. Whoa. Give me that, give me that, give me that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Chugga-chugga, big red car. We'll travel near and we'll travel far. Toot-toot, chugga-chugga, big red car. We're gonna ride the whole day long.
Probably know who I'm talking about. Do you know the cartoon Scooby-Doo?
Oh, yes, I know that very well. Got that on DVD.
Okay, so, yeah, Casey Kasem did the voice of Shaggy.
Oh, really?
So
well,
those
that's interesting.
Are, yeah, two things he's known for. And, yeah, I used to listen to it. It was on Sunday morning. A couple of times I might have recorded. Yeah, I probably recorded it a few times. But I would listen to it. I enjoyed listening to it and all the trivia about the songs and, you know, some of that stuff I remember. But some years later, I had dinner with Casey Kasem. It was very, very interesting. I was in 1988, and it was after a Jesse Jackson event. That Jesse Jackson, who ran for president, David Duke knows this. He knows this about me. But Jesse Jackson ran for president in the 1980s. And he was actually, like, I think of all the people who ran for president in the 1980s and were included in major party debates, like televised major party debates, he was the one who had the best foreign policy. He was the one who was least for continuing the Cold War, least for militaristic buildups, and least for, he had the best Middle East policy, and the Jewish lobby in the United States really, really disliked him. He was the most disliked by the Jewish lobby. And so I was a Jesse Jackson delegate in 84 and in 88. And so in 1988, after a primary victory, in Washington, D.C., that was the last primary that Jesse Jackson won, there was a party, and I'd gone to the party, and Casey Kasem was the MC of the party. And then after the party, it was a large party, a mutual friend of ours who was a Palestinian, he said, let's go out with Casey Kasem and his wife. And so we went to a Lebanese restaurant in Georgetown. Casey Kasem was Lebanese, and we had dinner, and I actually had a record that I just released. I didn't even mention it to him because we were really connecting on a lot of the foreign policy stuff. And I wound up, I guess, did I get his number? And almost 20 years later, in 2006, I wound up calling him up. And this was when Israel invaded Lebanon. And we started talking, and I was doing some public speaking against the Israeli invasion of Lebanon, not invasion, but the bombing of Beirut. And and Casey was, he'd call me up and say, oh, you got to talk about this, you got to talk about that. He was a really, really good guy. And then I guess eventually he wound up getting some dementia or something before he died, and there was some brouhaha within his family. But anyway, he was a really, really good guy. So that's my memory of American Top 40.
Well, I don't know how many of your shows, Patrick, I listen to. I tend to get several every week. And I've never heard you tell that story. So for me, it's worth doing what we're doing today to hear that, because I'm a big... that first series of Scooby-Doo, I think was two series, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Got that on a Hanna-Barbera set in the same sort of range as you get the Dastardly and Muttley and their flying machines and the wacky races. And you can get things like Penelope Pitstop and Top Cat, which I was not so keen on, Hong Kong Furry. But that with Scooby-Doo, like with Tom and Jerry, when all the cartoons that said produced by Fred Quimby at the end that were largely animated by Hanna-Barbera, who of course went up to set up their own company producing the cartoons that I just mentioned. After they left, the Tom and Jerry started being done by Chuck Jones, and Tom was talking in it, and they just weren't as good. But with Scooby-Doo, I remember when I was quite young, seeing those original cartoons from the late 60s, I believe, in the US. And then they brought out this Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo and things like that, and it was an unnecessary extra character. The originals were far better. But any thoughts on that before we move on?
Yeah, so next time you see Scooby-Doo and you see Shaggy, just remember Shaggy was really based and was anti-Israel. Just remember that.
That is something worth bearing in mind indeed. It's let's see what we've got next. Oh, I've got to do the answers here for this question. I'll read the question out again. Did you used to listen to the Top 40 or Billboard 100 on the radio and tape record your favourite songs? Donald said, yes, I would record Top of the Pops from the radio. So Donald is in the UK. Lisa, who's in South Africa, definitely. We had a show in South Africa called Pop Shop, which I used to watch. And there was a Top 20 countdown on Radio 702 on Sunday night that I used to tape off the radio, as buying tapes was expensive at 18 Rand. My tape recorder used to tape with a hissy, whining sound, so it wasn't exactly crystal clear listening, but it felt so exciting to have the music to re-listen to. And David, who's, of course, in the US, said, my dad got me a transistor radio. It came in a leatherette case. I was about 14 or 15 years old. We lived in Denver, Colorado at that time, and my favourite AM radio station was KIMN. About this same time, my circle of friends became interested in tiny Japanese reel-to-reel tape recorders. We would record our favourite songs off the radio. One that I recall was Hey Little Cobra by the Ripcords. I've never heard of that. Have you heard of that, Patrick?
No, I have not.
No. Okay. So, next question, did you use a cassette Walkman to listen to music? And if so, you've kind of answered this part of the question, but I'll read it anyway. And if so, did that have any influence on you choosing to buy cassettes instead of records? I know you said you would buy the record and tape onto cassette, which is what I tended to do. Your comments, Patrick.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite... What's the question?
Okay, it's, did you use a cassette Walkman to listen to music? You know, like a Sony Walkman with the headphones? Did you ever have one of them?
Yeah. I had one given to me. A proper Sony Walkman was given to me by a nice girl who liked me, and I used that not so much for listening to music, but for because it had a recording feature. I recorded a diary of me going through China. Took wow. it to China with me, and I went back once and listened to the tapes I made, and boy, I hated China. You know, you hear my shows and you think I'm such a China shill, right? But when I was in China, I absolutely hated it, and it was embarrassing listening to the tapes that I made because they were just so awful. I hated China. I hated the Chinese. I hated my companion. I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable. But so yeah, I had that, and then I later got some other kind of Walkman. I would when I did listen to stuff, I listened to a whole bunch of. I think when like Benjamin Fulford, when his father passed away, he had the Great Lectures, which are okay. There is, you know, these professors who record courses. And I wound up inheriting Benjamin Fulford's father, who's very intellectual. He was an ambassador in the Canadian Foreign Service. And I wound up inheriting Benjamin Fulford's father's cache of lectures on tape. And I would listen to them while walking my dogs. So that's what I've done with Walkman, portable tape recorders.
Yes, well, it's interesting to say about recording things as well, because as you recall, it was back on January the 3rd of 2018 when you, me and David Duke were having our pre-show chat for his show that I got the call from my mother to say that my dad, who was in hospital, had passed away. And I ended up conducting the funeral service. My mum and I wrote it and I stood up and read it out. So I did the whole thing. And while I was doing it, of course, we're not talking about Walkmans now. We're talking about a phone with a little voice recorder on it. And I put that in my shirt pocket and I recorded it. It was about 18, 20 minutes, I think, in total. Unfortunately, it caught me singing some of the hymns and things like that. But we were able to put that on an email and send that to some of their friends around the world and around the UK who were unable to attend. So, yeah, it is useful to have that feature to record yourself. And I know, Patrick, that you've done a lot of your shows sometimes when you're on the move as well, and they still come out very well. We can understand what you're saying and what have you. And with regard to the China diary,
you can understand what I'm saying. Yeah, that's good that you can understand what I'm saying. That should be a bare minimum for a show.
It's just, I mean, sometimes you will get background noise. It won't be quite the same in certain areas, but it doesn't necessarily mean all the time. But you still come through well, and that's a good thing. So obviously there's enough noise cancelling in the mic that you use on the equipment that you're using that your voice still comes through strongly. And then finally, the China diary that you mentioned, I don't imagine this will ever happen, but it'd be very interesting to hear you playing snippets of that on some of your shows with Kato and seeing what both your responses are back to a young Patrick Slattery today.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that. not with Kato.
I had a
miserable time. It was poor, it was bureaucratic, it was crowded, it was awful. And, you know, I traveled in Morocco and Indonesia and Eastern Europe and all sorts of places. China was absolutely my least favorite country I ever went to. And yet, objectively speaking, I plan to go there. I'd like to go there soon to see how it's changed, because I see these pictures and it is not the country I went to. So things have changed and obviously gotten much, much better. And that's why I have so much respect for it, because I know where it came from. And it just came from a miserable, awful country in the 1980s to a very confident country that's doing very well for its people. So that's why I'm such a big shill for China. I wish I was getting paid off by them. I wish I had a CCP handler, but I don't.
Well, I think that some of them may well listen, and I think that they should throw some money your way, Patrick, because you certainly do a lot on behalf of... when you get all the criticism of China, of course, the people in the so-called independent alternative media that always want to bash China and accuse China of being behind all the evils of the world. Obviously, that's not true. And you do a great deal to redress that balance. And the other thing is, of course, the... whatever's in those tapes, you're referring to a completely different country, as you said, than it is today. I remember I saw some picture, I think it was on a website somewhere, I think HalTurnerRadioShow.com, that recent train crash in Maine, and then he showed a picture next to it of these trains in China. And they're like something out of Space Age, Patrick. I always thought the Japanese bullet train was good, but these look even better than that. So you look at the sort of infrastructure they're getting over there, and what we're getting in the West, it's, you know, you have potholes all over your roads. I understand we have them in mine. I have to get my mother's shopping now on a weekend. And I'm, you know, driving down the road that on we moved into in 1984. And I'm having to go on the other side of the road when it's free. But there's holes after holes after holes. And this is supposed to be, you know, countries are supposed to develop and get better, but we're in regression in the West, and I imagine it's the same for you in the States.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. In political economy, international political economy, there were theories about the benefits of being a late developer, because you don't have to go through all of the same stages. You can just skip stages of development. You can get new technology from outside and skip over things. So, for instance, China never had landlines, not very many. The typical person in China never had a landline phone. They went straight from no phones to cell phones. And, you know, this building wires all across a country, physical wires, is extremely expensive. It's just enormously expensive. Whereas cell phone towers, if the technology's there, you just put up one little tower every, you know, or maybe a few every square mile, and you're good to go. You don't have to have wires running to every single person's house and then all through their house. So there's a whole bunch of benefits to it, and it's not just in terms of phones. There's a lot of things that the Chinese were just able to skip over. And so they did. There is benefits of being a late developer, but of course the disadvantage of being a late developer is that they spent all these times wallowing around in the mud while the rest of the world was listening to cassette tapes and talking over their landlines.
Yes, and one other thing I'll just throw in, because I've heard many of your stories about your travels, and I've not been to most of the places that you've been to, but you did mention Morocco. And one of the times I really did lose my temper, Patrick, I don't like being hassled on the streets, people trying to sell me stuff and what have you. And I was in a place called Agadir in Morocco on one of those boat trips I took with my parents at some point between 2012 and 2015. So some point in the last, you know, 10 years. And yeah, just non-stop people trying to sell you stuff, trying to drag you into shops and all this sort of thing. And I just wanted to be left alone. I was not in a good mood, but that was Agadir in Morocco. And I was told that the worst place for that is Egypt, that you just get hassled constantly if you're a Westerner trying to get you to buy this, that and the other. It's really quite unbelievable. Any comments on that before we move on?
No, I've never been to Egypt, but that's exactly the experience I had in Morocco. And I wasn't in Morocco long. I took the boat from from Al-Habsides, or however you say it in Spanish. It's near Gibraltar, and you go across the Straits of Gibraltar to, I think it's called Ceuta, which is a Spanish enclave on the, you know, north coast of Africa. It's a little Spanish enclave. I spent the night there, and then the next day, I went across the land border between the Spanish enclave and Morocco. And when I went across the border in a rainstorm. It was just raining. So I got across the border, and the minute I got across, there was nothing there. There were no buildings. There were just taxis. And so it was either to be drenched or to get in a taxi. So I got in a taxi, and of course the taxi took me to probably his cousin's shop and deposited me in there. And when we're going through the these, what do you call it, the Casbah, these tiny little streets, but they're not streets that are big enough for cars. They just have walkways, and it was some maze. And of course, it had been raining, and my glasses were steamed up, so I had no idea how I'd gotten there. Got into this room, didn't even know really how I'd gotten into the room.
Captain Feathersaw fell asleep on his pirate ship. Then he woke up on a farm.
Oh, my goodness me!
With roosters and ducks singing this song.
Quack, 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 cock-a-doodle-doo. Quack, 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 cock-a-doodle-doo. Quack, quack, quack-a-doodle-doo.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
The dog,
he calls it Rango.
Wags the dog,
it rhymes with mango.
Streets, but they're not streets that are big enough for cars. They just have walkways, and it was some maze. And of course, it had been raining, and my glasses were steamed up, so I had no idea how I'd gotten there. Got into this room, didn't even know really how I'd gotten into the room. And they were trying to sell me carpets, and I was like, I'm backpacking for months across Europe. I can't buy a carpet. Oh, we'll send it to where you're going. I was like, no, I don't need a carpet. And it was awful. And then finally, the mint tea that they had provided me, all of a sudden they were trying to charge me, you know, the equivalent of what, I don't know, like 30 Swiss francs or something. And It was just awful. And then when I finally left, because I didn't know how I'd come in, I walked into a closet and they were all laughing at me. But I did buy this traditional piece of clothing made out of camel wool that covered you from head to toe. And maybe it was kind of a touristy thing, although I guess country people still wore it. And I used it I hitchhiked in it, actually, which is probably not advisable. But at least I didn't look obviously Western in it, I guess. I don't know. I eventually found a nice person, and he saw in my backpack an English language magazine. It might have been Time or Newsweek, and he offered to fix me lunch or dinner in exchange for the magazine, which was good. So I got to go into his apartment, and in order to get into his apartment, you had to climb up a ladder in this ancient little, what was the place called, Tetuan or something? It's, you know, very close to that tip. It's very close to the Straits of Gibraltar. So that was my experience there. It's very similar to yours. And I don't even think I spent the night in Morocco proper. I think I just spent about 14 or 15 hours and went back to Ceuta, the Spanish enclave.
That's an interesting story, yes. And of course, so what year would that have been around, Patrick?
1984.
Right. There you go. So 39 years ago, folks. Let's move. Well, I'll just give. Did I do these? No, I haven't done the answer. So the question again was, did you use a cassette Walkman to listen to music? And if so, did that have any influence on you choosing to buy cassettes instead of records? Donald says, I had a cassette recorder. Lisa, I got a lovely red Sony Walkman for Christmas one year when I was still in primary school. I still have it. I'll actually send a picture to you, Andy. I listened to it at night when I was meant to be sleeping, and it was my first taste of freedom, because prior to then, lights out meant all you could do was lie in the dark and go to sleep. However, with the Walkman, I could listen to music as long as I liked, with no one knowing, and I could fantasize about being a pop star. Definitely made me prefer cassettes. And David says, before the era of cassettes and Walkmans, I bought 8-track tapes. I was particularly fond of the first two Led Zeppelin albums. I was spending my money on other interests than music players. Eventually I acquired a few cassettes, but never had a large collection. And let me just check how many... we've got a few questions left. We could always overrun into my show. And Patrick, if you have to go, then I can finish these off.
Because how long have we been recording? I think something happened to my recording.
Right. Well, I've got 47 minutes on my clock, and my intro lasts about 1 minute 30. So I reckon that for your show, we're 46 minutes in. So
it's about time for me to wrap up then.
Yeah, okay. Well, you wrap up. If you want to hang on, you can on my show. Folks, if you want to get the rest of it and you're listening on RBN, just go to achshow.com. It's show number 2126, Dr. Patrick Slattery. So, Patrick, please wrap up the show and then hand back.
Well, thank you for joining me, Andy, and I'll be back again tomorrow, another exciting episode of
Ladies and Gentlemen, residents of the planet Rockstar, please welcome on stage King Mondo, the Wiggles, and Captain Feathersaw.
Now listen!
We're listening!
Oh, we're stepping out! Gonna turn you around!
Turn around, everybody!
Gonna turn you around once and we'll do the...
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.